seated. Well, good morning, and let me wish you a happy Easter. If I've not met you, my name's Nathan. I'm one of the other pastors here. We're going to do just that. We're going to lift our eyes to Jesus as we get the scriptures open this morning. And this morning, we're in Matthew's Gospel. If you've been with us over the last few months, we've been journeying through the final chapters of Matthew's Gospel that almost take a slow motion through the final days, hours of Jesus' life. You know, the gospel flies over 3 years of his life, but then really slows down because in every incident, in every story, we are drawn into the very meaning of the cross and the resurrection. And so this morning we're going to pick up the reading in Matthew 27 and verse 62. If you would like a Bible, please raise a hand. One of our team would love to bring you one over so you can follow along. That's page 1000 in the church Bibles. Matthew 27, and we're going to read right through to the end of the resurrection accounts, and Chrissy's going to come and read that for us.
The next day, the one after the preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. "Sir," they said, "we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise again.' So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first." "Take a guard," Pilate answered. "Go. Make the tomb as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say, 'His disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were sleeping.' If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day.
Thanks, Chrissy. My bad communication, sorry. Well, please join me in a prayer. Keep that open in front of you, and let me pray for us as we look at this resurrection account together. Our God and our Father in heaven, we gather this morning, many of us in this room, because we believe these facts of the resurrection to be true. The Apostle Paul tells us that if Christ were not raised from the dead, then of all people we are to be pitied more than anyone else. And so, Father, we would ask this morning, please, that as we come again to the story of Jesus and his resurrection, that you would assure us, grow our faith in the facts, and please would you grow our hope in the implications of the resurrection. Father, may we not simply be hearers of the word this morning, but doers of all that it encourages us to. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in many ways this morning, we are doing a very strange thing. We are gathering here another Easter Sunday morning to celebrate an ancient story of a man raised from the dead. Now, that's very familiar to us, isn't it? But the question that many outside of this room are asking, as we gather in here and we gather around our little story and we celebrate Jesus raised from the dead, the question that many outside this room are asking is, and probably maybe some of us inside this room might be asking, but are afraid to say it out loud sometimes, is, are we deceived, or is the message of the resurrection to be believed? That's the question, isn't it? Are we deceived? Did it really happen? Or is the message of the resurrection, is Jesus, are the Gospels to be believed? Deceived or to be believed? And I want to encourage you this morning, as we celebrate Easter, as we gather in this room and we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the backdrop of deception is not a new thing. Actually, if you come back to the very first Easter story, it is the backdrop of the very first Easter Sunday, is the question of deception. Is the resurrection just one giant deception story? See, if you've got a Bible, just look down with me at those first verses that Chrissy read to us. The next day, verse 62, 27 verse 62, the next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. Sir, they said, we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, after 3 days I will rise again. So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. This deception will be worse than the first. It is very clear that the chief priests and the Pharisees thought that Jesus was a deceiver, that he was leading people astray with his teaching, and that the promise of a resurrection would be just the last, kind of the cherry on the cake, the deception cake that Jesus was bringing to the world. That is the backdrop to Resurrection Day. People thinking that Jesus was a deceiver. And so much so were they convinced that Jesus was a deceiver that they set up something so that it would be impossible for there to be a deception. Did you notice that? So the people who think, oh, Jesus is a deceiver, they do everything possible to prove that what happens next is not a deception. Look at verse 64 again. They set up a tomb with a seal on it and put a guard at the entrance. Just as the Romans were experts in crucifixion, they were also experts in guarding things. And so you see the deception question, that the question mark that sits over the resurrection of Jesus isn't just a today problem. It is the backdrop to the very first Easter Sunday. Deception casts its shadow over that first Easter Sunday, and sadly, it still casts its shadow over us. We gather in here, but the world out there is saying, well, are you just deceived? Do you really believe a man rose from the dead? And it's against that backdrop, the deception backdrop, that I want to invite you to do two things with me this morning. First of all, I want to invite you to come and see, and then I want to invite you to go and tell. Come and see, go and tell. Can we say those together? One, two, three. Come and see, go and tell. These are two things we're going to do. Now, the reason I want us to do these two things is that actually these are two things that the angel invites the women to do on that very first Easter Sunday morning. So you look with me at chapter 28, verse 6 and 7. So the angel has appeared to the women, and he says to them, "He is not here, he has risen, just as he said." And here's the phrase, "Come and see the place where he lay." And then in verse 7, go quickly and tell his disciples. So you see, here are two things we are invited to participate in on Easter Sunday. Come and see, and go and tell. And so first, let's do come and see. Come and see. So you look at, I don't know if you've ever sort of been in one of those situations where somebody has told you something, but then you don't really kind of grasp it or get hold of it until they say, "Well, come and see it for yourself." So the other day I was walking the dog in the evening, and the sun was going down, and there was this absolutely beautiful sunset. And I walk back in the house all enthusiastic, and I say, "Whoa, you want to go and see? There's a sunset out there." And everyone's like, "Oh, that's great." And then you say, "Well, no, come and see." And then everyone kind of piles up to the window, and they see this beautiful sunset. Come and see. It's an invitation, isn't it, to see for yourself, to gain assurance of what somebody has told you. And that's the thing that's going on here in this story. When the angels say to the women, "Come and see," it is an invite to have assurance of the things that they have been told. See, follow with me the story. Chapter 28, verse 1. The Marys head off to the tomb. On their way to the tomb, verse 2, there's a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven. Then the women encounter that angel, and he speaks a message to them. Now, what is that message? Well, look at verse 5. "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay." They've been told a message. The angel is standing before them, and he says, "Jesus, who you're looking for, who was crucified, he has risen." Now, that's just what they've been told. But then the angel says, "Come and see. Come and see for yourselves." It's an invitation to gain assurance of the message that the angel has just told them. The resurrection is real. They are not deceived. The angel is to be believed. Come and see. And what is more, these women aren't just invited to look into an empty tomb, are they? They then leave the tomb, verse 9. And they encounter the risen Jesus himself. Suddenly Jesus said to them, "Greetings." They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. The women were invited to come and see as an invitation to be sure that Jesus really was alive. And on this Easter Sunday, I want to invite you to do the same. As we gather in this room to worship Jesus, as a group of people who believe he's alive, in the backdrop of deception, do people think we're deceived? I want to invite you to come and see. Now, of course, we can't go to the empty tomb and look inside. And of course, we can't go to the risen Lord Jesus and clasp his feet physically. But I want to invite you to the assurance that the Gospels give us. That Jesus really is alive. We have the gospel accounts of Matthew that we've just read, of Mark, of Luke, of John. We have the testimony of those who saw Jesus and believed and staked their lives on it. We can come and see this morning that the facts are true. You see, where do you think Matthew heard the story? Where do you think he gathered his facts from? It was from the Marys. These women, these are the women, if we had time to trawl through, these are the women who'd watched him die, 27 verse 55. These are the women who'd cared for Jesus' needs, 27 verse 55. Who'd watched his dead body be placed in a tomb, chapter 27 verse 61. Who'd met the angel, chapter 28 verse 2 to 4. These are the women who came to the tomb and saw with their own eyes that he was not here, chapter 28 verse 6. These are the women who had met Jesus, chapter 28 and verse 9. Come and see. Not through your eyes, but through the eyes of these women who encountered these events firsthand. Come and see this morning is an invite to us to be sure of the facts that we gather to worship and believe in this morning. See, just look at the last bit that Chrissy read to us, verse 11. While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed, and this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. The only ones doing the deceiving in this account are those who thought that Jesus was a deceiver. They're the only ones deceiving people, aren't they? Even though they hear the eyewitness accounts, even though they hear the facts of the resurrection, they choose to spread a story that's completely the opposite. And the story that they spread is still a common answer to the resurrection of Jesus today, isn't it? How many times have you engaged with people and they've said something like, "Well, he didn't really die"? Or how many times have you engaged with someone and they've said, "Oh, his body was stolen"? See, that's the only deception at Easter Sunday. And on this Sunday, as we gather here, and perhaps sometimes we may have those little niggles. Is this real? Do we believe something that's real? Or as we mix with our world that thinks we're deceived, I want to invite you again this morning to be sure of the facts. I want you to be certain of the account that we have written down. We are not deceived. The message of the resurrection is to be believed. So first, can we say it together? Come and see. Now, okay, we can't go to the tomb, but we can come to the Gospels, and we can be sure. But the second thing that we should do on Easter Sunday is go and tell. Can we say that together? Go and tell. You see, look at verse 7. Look at verse 7 with me, chapter 28. The women are told, "Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." On Easter Sunday, in response to the resurrection, as they grasp the facts that Jesus is alive, the women are told to go and to tell. But what are they told to go and tell? That's really important. Have a look. What are they told to go and tell? Breaks into three parts. Number one, he has risen from the dead. Jesus, who was crucified, is now alive. He's going ahead of them. That's the second part, into Galilee. And the third part is that there they will see him. Three parts to their message. Now, how are they to say this message? Have a look down. How are they to say it? Begins with Q, ends with quickly. Quickly. They're to go with urgency. This is a message that they're to start carrying to people with some level of speed and urgency. And who are they to tell? Anyone? Disciples. Look at verse 7. They are to go and tell the disciples. They were to tell those who believed in Jesus, who had put their hope in Jesus. He has risen. It was a message for the disciples. You see, Easter Sunday, it's first a message for us before it's a message for the world. This is a Sunday for us to encourage one another before we then take that message out to the world. We need to speak this message to one another. Now, there's a time coming. If you're with us next Sunday morning, Jonathan's going to take us through the next bit of Matthew 28. There we're going to discover that the gospel is for the nations. But on Easter Sunday, today, it's a message for believers. It's a message for us. And what is that message for us? What about us? What are we to do with this? Well, what the women were told to do really forms a pattern for how we should respond on Easter Sunday to the facts of the resurrection. We are to go and tell. Easter Sunday gives us a message to go and share with one another. The same three things we're to assure each other of. First of all, we're to look each other, because Jesus is alive, we are to look each other in the eye and say, He has risen. Jesus, who was crucified, who was a sacrifice for our sins, has been raised from the dead. He lives. And we are to tell one another, what are we to say? Well, he's gone ahead of us. Now, the disciples were told that Jesus would go ahead of them into Galilee, and that's what happened. He literally did go ahead of them into Galilee, and there they saw him. But what about for us? Well, we're to say to one another, listen, Jesus has risen, and he's gone ahead of us. Where's he gone? He's gone ahead of us into heaven. And going ahead of us is kind of a twofold thing, really. He's prepared the way. He's made the way possible. But he's also at the destination that we're going to meet him at. Jesus has done everything needed for people like us to follow him into heaven. He's made preparation for us. And he's in the destination we will be. Jesus has gone ahead of us through death, through resurrection, and into heaven. And so we're to say to one another, he's risen, he's gone ahead of us, and there we will see him. On resurrection day, we can assure one another, we can look one another in the eye and say, there we will see Jesus. This is the great message of Easter Sunday, isn't it? That we're to tell one another the message of the resurrection. Jesus lives. He's gone ahead of us. And there we will see him. And how are we to share that message with each other? A little bit like, oh, I might tell you. I might not tell you. No, we're to do it quickly. We're to do it with urgency. You know, when we leave this room, I don't know what the rest of your Easter weekend looks like. I don't know what it holds, who you're going to mix with. But as we walk out into a world that thinks we're deceived, boy, oh boy, do we need to be saying to one another, he has risen, he's gone ahead of us, and there we will see him. I need you to say that to me, and you need me to say that to you. That's what Christians do. That's what Easter Sunday assures us of. He's risen. He's gone ahead of us, and there we will see him. So two things I invite you to do this Easter. Come and see. If you've got any niggle of doubt about the resurrection, then I invite you to come and see. Come and read the Gospels. Come and be sure of what we believe. There's so much evidence for the resurrection. And the Gospels is the place to start. Come and see. Be sure this morning in what we believe. And then go and tell. Go and tell. First of all, tell each other. You know, I don't know what you're going to talk about over coffee afterwards. But why don't you tell each other these facts again? Jesus lives. He's gone ahead of us into heaven, and there we will see him as we trust him. Go and tell. And so I invite you this Easter to know that we're not deceived, but the message of the resurrection is to be believed. Tell one another. Speak to one another about it. We need that, don't we, in the backdrop of deception? And this morning, if you wouldn't call yourself a follower of the Lord Jesus, then can I invite you to do the same? Let me first invite you to come and see. Read one of the gospel accounts of Jesus' life. Listen to the evidence of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. Come and see. It's not a message where you're deceived. It's a message to be believed. And then come join us. Come join us as those who gather, not just on an Easter Sunday, but every week, to say, He has risen. Who was crucified, who paid for our sins, He's risen. He's gone ahead of us into heaven. And there we will see Him. Come join us as we do that every week. Friends, let me pray some of that in for us on Easter Sunday, and then we're going to sing in response. Our Father in heaven, we want to thank You this morning that Jesus has risen. Thank You that we are not deceived, but that Jesus is to be believed. Thank You that Easter Sunday gives us a message to tell. He has risen, and His death has accomplished the forgiveness of our sins. He's gone ahead of us into heaven. He's made a way. And there we will see Him. Oh, Father, we so look forward to that day when we do see Him face to face. We thank You that today, Easter Sunday, gives us assurance that that is what will happen. And so help us this Easter to come and see and to go and tell. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.